Hello and a very warm welcome to Monocle on Design Extra. It's a show brought to you by the team behind Monocle's dedicated weekly design programme, and I'm your host, Josh Fennett. Each episode, we take a closer look at a story that we think deserves just a little bit more attention. And today, we head to Toronto, where major grocery store chains are erecting protective plexiglass shields at cash registers to keep employees and staff safe. However, local designer Rachel LeBlanc noticed that the city's mom-and-pop shops and independent neighbourhood grocers had been left exposed. A trained cabinet maker and industrial designer behind interior studio Company Projects, LeBlanc has since designed a freestanding wood and plexiglass barrier to keep shoppers and shop owners safe. Since launching the project in March, she has spent most of her days gathering materials, assembling the barriers and delivering them to businesses around the city, all free of charge. LeBlanc spoke to Monocle's Will Kitchens.
My name is Rachel LeBlanc. I have a small design practice where I primarily concentrate on interiors and furniture. Just through my daily life, going around and seeing that there was a fairly large gap in, you know, I was going to the grocery stores, seeing these shields go up for a good reason, and then going to the places that I normally shop, where I get my stuff and parts of my community that didn't have them, and seeing the level of anxiety that was creating, that was primarily the driver. There's a couple things that drive the way that this thing works and the design of it. So in traditional large grocery store, they have the plexiglass barrier from basically the counter all the way up. And a solution like that isn't really possible for these smaller bodegas, mostly because their counter space doesn't allow it. And they're not shoving things through and you're bagging it. They're the ones that need to make contact with it. So essentially, we looked at the conditions within these like smaller grocery stores and convenience stores and dreamt up a solution that was a bit easier. Also, a lot of these grocery stores are closing down and there's a crew that comes in and installs them. That's not possible. And so we really needed to take some of the cues from what they were doing and make a version that was essentially freestanding. So essentially, that's what it is. It's open at the bottom, and then it has a large shield at the top that allows whoever is checking someone out to still handle groceries and still deal with that transaction, but does create a barrier. And then also, the freestanding element is derived from the fact that we can just run in, drop it off. We don't need to be in there for more than a minute to explain it. Ultimately, my bodega, my small grocer, dropped one off. We talked about if it was going to work. It was almost like a prototype. Went in, gave it to them, and said, like, is this a solution? Is this going to work? And then we put out the call to expand it. Getting the material, getting the volunteers, and assembling as many as we can. We have a list of people who have asked for them, and we are also being asked by other communities in the nonprofit sector, and we are now actually connecting with some organizations that potentially are going to send these to communities up north. We're trying to reach out to communities that are probably being underserved at this point. Also trying to be mindful of some of the stuff that we're hearing about. Low-income communities are moving more than high-income communities, like they're more likely to be affected by this. So strategically, that made sense. We also are very aware that like low-income communities tend to get their groceries from smaller areas like these. They're not going to larger grocers, so we're being mindful of that. The original 20 that went out were fully completed through donations, which is nothing to take lightly. This plexiglass is extremely expensive, and we had a huge partner at Superframe to get those to us. And then we also had my connections from the CNC world donated time and services there as well. So that was the first original batch. That isn't possible to scale. That's what we're doing with the 100. So right now we have a GoFundMe that is allowing us to speed up the process by purchasing materials and doing this fabrication cycle in a more efficient and larger way. You know, we're scaling the production, we need to purchase stuff. It's really time consuming to gather donations, although very helpful. So right now we're focusing on purchasing and scaling production. I think that there's ways in which we can be mindful of social distancing and still help out. It doesn't need to be this like grand gesture. It could be the tiniest things. Like if you have skills in web design or graphic design, or you're an artist right now, small businesses really need you, maybe helping them pivot to online. There's lots of ways. This is my skill set. This is my community skill set. But I think that if you can look at what you do and how potentially you could come up with a creative solution to support a business or a nonprofit organization, I think it's a really good thing to do right now. And I think that there really is a big opportunity for graphic design, web design, artists, designers of all type. It doesn't need to be a physical solution. It can definitely be more of like a systems thinking solution or helping businesses pivot. That could be really helpful right now.
Our sincere thanks to Rachel LeBlanc and Monocle's very own Will Kitchens. And sadly, that's all we have time for on this week's show. But if you're eager for more design delights, then do listen to our full-length programme, which airs on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on Monocle 24. That's London time, or is available as a podcast thereafter. Do also subscribe so you don't miss a show. Or head to monocle.com for more of our books, collaborations, products, and more about the brand. Today's episode was produced by Maitley Evans. I'm Josh Fennett. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.